You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. gonna turn to next? Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, and it had to get done, it must be done, it will get done, you did it. And you did it safely, and we appreciate you for that. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Well, this program, of course, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you, man. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, once again, this is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jahad Ahmed. From 8 to 9, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. tonight, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9 on Saturdays. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sundays. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, the products are produced by us. They're sold by us. They have these packages now that you can get. I've been seeing them on Facebook when they have some promotions on Facebook. Brothers, go to WeBuyBlack.com and support us. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba, my good brother, Brother Bomani Tayemba, he's ready to take another group of us to the continent, November 18th through the 29th. 18th through the 29th. Brother Bomani will be taking us to Tanzania. And then December 24th to January 5th, 2022, to Ghana. And then April 1st to April 11th to Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 5th to Ghana, 2022. And all the trips are $3,700 and it's all inclusive. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2022. If you want to give Brother Bomani a call, give him a call at 404 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans. And everything on the website is all that you need. All the documentation, all the information, visas, and so forth. Everything is there for you to help take you a trip of a lifetime to the motherland. Africa for the Africans. .org. Habesha Incorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, they are doing the work. They're doing the work here in the Atlanta area, and they're doing the work on the continent with the Kashi Project in Ghana. Habesha is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Brothers and sisters, support Habesha Incorporated. .org. The Ledge Group. TheLedgeGroup.com. Ledge stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. TheLedgeGroup.com. TheLedgeGroup.com. They deal in the four areas of human existence. That is a necessity for human existence. That is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. They need more members. And in fact, if you become a member, you have an opportunity for members only. You have an opportunity to buy land in Tanzania. $250 an acre, only $250 an acre of land in Tanzania. Brothers and sisters, go to theledgegroup.com. Theledgegroup.com. Bibi Atumi. Bibi Atumi, ABIBITUMI.com, BibiAtumi.com, brothers and sisters. Go to BibiAtumi.com and make it a favorite. All the things that they have all kinds of good information, things that you will get involved in. The classes they have, the language classes, they have Akan Wolof, they have Medu Netcher, and of course they have Kiswahili. They have a beginner's class and an advanced class in Swahili. We need to learn a language that so we can have cultural privacy. And I mentioned, and I say it again, we should learn Kiswahili. TheLedgeGroup.com. The Homeland Village and Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. I should have mentioned that. I thought they were open on Mondays, but they know they're open from Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And check them out at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Give them a call. Give a Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. The Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. A beautiful place, man. He's got it laid out. He has stuff in almost every place of that joint. The furniture, artwork, books, the book tapes, man. He even has a vegan restaurant within the property. So check him out if you're in the Macon area, if it's not on a Monday. So if it's Tuesday through Sunday, check him out. Wadada's Bookstore. Wadada's Bookstore. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. I apologize. With delicious smoothies and health drinks and wraps and all kinds of good stuff. Vegan food on Saturday and Sunday. Vegan dishes. Give my sister a call at Wadada's at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. She's right across the street, right on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard here in the west end of Atlanta, right across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. So give her a call. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, is open, and she has a beautiful place right down the main strip of the Greenbrier Mall. They have a fine selection of books, greeting cards, postcards, certificates, T-shirts, figurines, all kinds of good stuff that Mama Nia has at the Greenbrier Mall. Give her a call at 404. Because if you're looking for a book, give her a call at 404-346-3263. If she doesn't have it, believe me, she'll get it. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My good brother Kazim Dejamu, who is the proprietor of the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Shop. That's right. He put a coffee bar in, serving delicious African coffees and teas and so forth, pastries, bean pies. That's right. And of course, he has books. He also has the red, black, and green shoes and has gas shoes. So Brother Gazimde Ajamu, check him out in Lithonia at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Or give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us lifting us. Every Thursday night, they have the Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio at 9 p.m., from 9 to 10 p.m. You can listen online by going to blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. Or you can call and listen or call to give a question, comment, or concern by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. That is inside the Discount International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, contact my sister, Shelly Amonset, at Sun Goddess Scents. And the number to call her is at 404-434-7963. 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop, located in the International Discount Mall. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, working with our young people. Please, brothers and sisters, go online to Sonjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org, Sonjay-Haiti.org, and see the beautiful children in their school uniforms. They deal with education, health care, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. You can check it out yourself, and they deserve to be supported. Akabin Institute, my good brother, Baba Baruti, he will be my guest on the 18th of October and the 25th of October next month. And I look forward, that's two consecutive Mondays towards the end of the month. And I look forward to our conversation with Baba Mualimu Baruti, who's a prolific writer. Yes, right. You can go to Akabin House, akabinhouse.com, for his fine selection of books. Very thought-provoking, as you know. And, of course, if you want to support the Institute, Akabin Institute, you can make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or you can use Cash App or PayPal. If you use Cash App, put in the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And when you can make donations to Akabin House and to the Baba Baruti and Mama Yah Baruti's cause of educating our young warriors. We need it. Believe me, and you know we need it. Akabin House, Akabin Institute. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Unfortunately, had some technical problems once again, and that happens periodically, and don't know why, but I was unable to broadcast this past Friday. Missed y'all. Hope you missed me too. But we have a good program today. And tomorrow, not tomorrow, but Wednesday, I got a brother from Senegal, Brother Diallo Diop. Some people pronounce it Jop or Diop. Brother Diallo Diop. And he is here in the Atlanta area. And he's gathering information from when Dr. Sheik onto Jop. They're not related, but because Jop is a big name in Senegal. And he's putting together an archival display in Ghana. You know, not Ghana, in Senegal. Come on. I just got up, y'all, okay? I've been up okay, in Senegal. And so he'll be my guest on Wednesday. And he'll talk more about it and what's going on the continent, what's going on in Senegal. And I look forward to that conversation with Brother Jop. The Inye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. September 26th. Afrocentrism has an ideology committed to the liberation of African people from the destructive grips of the West.
involves the displacement of the European mode of thinking and being and is replaced by concepts, attitudes, and behaviors in tune with African values and the ultimate interests of African people. Amia Mezoma. Progress must be reconceptualized along African lines. In order to do so, though, we must recognize that moving away from Eurocentrism has merit. Simply rejecting European culture and society is progress. Let me read that again. Simply rejecting European culture and their society is progress. That's what we must do. We must reject this madness. And the more forceful and determined the rejection, the greater the advancement away from Urugu's reality. The most meaningful and beneficial measurement of the progress or regression of African people individually and collectively would be in seeing how far our thought and action has taken us away from where enemies want to drive and corral us. And that's what we must do. That's what we must do. We must drive them out. The greater the distance between us and their way, the greater our progress. African-centered progress is not complicated. When conscious, our rejection of them is automatically an appreciation of us. Most of us just do not know to interpret this deliberately rebellious movement as progress. Mainly, this is because most often, Urugu still commands the center of our interpretation of reality and visions of what can be again. Far too many warriors still measure our success or failure based on whether or not we think that we're winning against them, not on whether or not we know we're winning against them. We forgot that the African way and the European way are irreconcilably different. We forget that any African movement away from them is a progressive movement toward our empowerment. Affirm, I am progressing. Affirm, I am progressing. And the more we progress, the better we will be. The more love we will have for ourselves, our families, individually, our community, Africa, and the better we can come together to control our land, our resources as one. September 27th. Imperialism has to construct a self-importance and relevance. And so Europeans have given themselves missionary power as civilizers. Under such circumstances, Africans can only then assume the status and identity accorded to them by Europeans and have no resource of classical cultural heritage from which to counter European racism. There will be no heritage or legacy with which to assert maturity and adulthood. Ifa Madumai. This imposed anti-African identity is the framework out of which most of those online disruptors of serious productive African thought operate. After the direct preventive online measures such as jailing, you know, that's what you people go into, Facebook jail. After the direct preventive online measures such as jailing, targeted viruses, and mysteriously vanishing posts, comments, memes, statements, and emojis have done their frustrating work, the colored disruptors step in to further cripple whatever positive dialogue still remains. Their method of choice is to interweave nonsense, infighting, and counter-revolutionary propaganda into constructive nation-building discussions. They insist interruptions are designed to undermine any ongoing liberating thought. They confine frontline conversations to be stabilized, imbalanced, constantly embattled state of affairs, which effectively calls the integrity and those actually doing the work into question. As a result, these warriors least deserving of such precautions suffer the questions and doubts and aspirations. Warriors who should view them as models, but instead cannot see beyond the engineered defamation and disruption. Consequently, the disruptors who are feeding off of their good names come to be mistaken as the new counter-revolutionary forefront, but they are not. Affirm, I assume the identity and civilized status of my ancestors. Assumed, affirm, I assume the identity and the civilizing status of my ancestors. We have all we need, dear brothers and sisters. The only thing we don't have, damn it, is our right minds. This is a quote from, I'm going to do two pieces that I know that, one piece I heard from Baba Rinoco, the great ancestor, my good friend, is from, I think it is, Hidden Colors 2, towards the end, where he is quoting a brother. I can't remember if his name was Thurman or whoever, but anyway, he says, what you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. And then the question becomes, who is doing the telling? Who is doing the telling? Because if they are doing the telling, that's why today we're talking about the African image. That's what we're going to talk about today, the African, the image of Africa. What we have been told, who has been doing the telling. But Baba Rinoco says, history is a light that illuminates the past and a key that unlocks the door to the future. Ashe. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern, and your behavior pattern determines your action. It begins with what you think, your philosophy, and it ends with what you do, your actions. If your philosophy is that our women don't deserve respect and they ain't nothing but B's and H's or whatever, then that's how you will treat them. If that's your philosophy, those will be your actions. But if your philosophy is that our sisters should be protected and admired and loved and cared for and supported, then you will treat them with care, love, admiration, and support. It begins with your philosophy and it ends with your actions. And the same is true of the sisters. If the sister believes that the brothers ain't about nothing, and we're the only people, brothers and sisters, think about it. We're the only people where our women say, y'all ain't shit. In fact, the correct term, which I don't use, the N-word, but they say, niggas ain't shit. But only people. You don't hear Latino women or Mexican women or Puerto say, they ain't shit. They ain't sugar, honey, iced tea. That's how deep it is. That's how deep it is. So we must instill that positiveness into ourselves, into our women, into our men, into our children, into our future. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's toil and square. Africa's books of wisdom, go now and build for eternity. A good ancestor, Brother Lester Velt Middleton, who I've mentioned many times, didn't know it until early this year at our ASCAC Zoom conference that he literally built a house for his family in South Carolina. Brother Lester Velt Middleton, you can go on YouTube, brothers and sisters, put in his name, and you'll hear him interview our great warrior scholars, Barbara Sizemore, Francis Cress Welsing, Dr. John G. Jackson, so many others. Go to YouTube and you can let the ancestors speak. Go to YouTube. You know, this one, I really like this quote, and I've been reading this, and I'll continue to do so. And there's a number of ones that I read during the programming, but this one is just, this is from Brother Erehone, Ezra Erehone. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point where they completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. That's deep, ain't it? That is deep. Yeah. That is so deep. And basically, that deals with the fact of the conditioning that we have been gone, that we have gone through since we've been taken, since our land has been taken, since we have been in captivity. Of course, you know, I don't say that we were enslaved. I say we were captured because we were not slaves. We were not slaves. Slaves are something or somebody that submits its will to a master. We never submitted. We were captured. And we always try to get free. We always resist it. So today we're going to talk about the image of Africa, the image of Africa and African people. And of course, you know, that's interesting because the image of Africa is so bad. But once again, what have we been told? Who is doing the telling? Today, at this very moment, you can talk to somebody about Africa and they don't want to hear it because in their mind, Africa has nothing, has no value. Africa is impoverished, overpopulated, has done nothing to further the advancement of humanity. In fact, if there's anything in Africa of value, it's probably Southern Africa because of the Caucasians that are there. It's probably the northern part of Africa because of the Arabs being there. And of course, Egypt is not in Africa. You know, the ancient civilizations of Egypt, of course, were white, were Caucasian. And of course, today they are Arab. And that just, we were just running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of any kind. That's what they want us to believe. And unfortunately, many of us believe that. Many of us believe that. In fact, many of us want to say that, no, we're not African. We're indigenous. Saying that they are the indigenous people to this land. They are making a claim to this land. Now, of course, when the European made a deal with the indigenous people of this land, we were not included in that. Even the brothers and sisters that were on the Trail of Tears from Florida to Oklahoma, when the deal was struck, they got nothing. The so-called Native Americans said, if you are not full-blooded, you will get nothing. So you had brothers and sisters who looked, and you know, they were they too braids to the side and everything like that. But if you can't find a way to claim being a Native American or an indigenous person, you get nothing. Now, there's been some who have taken advantage of being indigenous or Native American, particularly in the gaming industry, particularly out east. Northeast particularly. You know, the Foxwood, the casinos there. But the reality is, brothers and sisters, you know, I understand about the plight of the Native Americans and how they were decimated. In fact, if you really want to talk about genocide, genocide did not happen. I know that we use that word. When you hear the word genocide, you've been trained to think of European Jews. You've been trained to think of European. When you hear the word Holocaust, which is an English word. They have a word, and that word is Shoah. But the word Holocaust means an act that is so morally demonstrative, it is not just against those people, but against all humanity. It is an extermination. European Jews ain't exterminated. Hell, European Jews are doing quite well, aren't they? They took Palestine through the United States and some European countries, particularly Britain, through the United States and Britain. They took Palestine. Now, Palestine is Israel is the main country in the Middle East, because all around Israel is destruction in Syria, in Yemen, in Iraq. All around it's destruction. Hell, I seen a commercial for Tel Aviv. Go to Tel Aviv and go vacation. Apparently they doing good. No, the European Jews are doing well. The European Jews get more money from your tax dollars than any other group on the planet. So, nah, man. And of course, the European Jews. And that's the thing about the European Jews. You say something against them, and it's true. It is true. And then yet, they'll make you apologize. they'll make you backtrack. You know? Spike Lee talked about, in fact, in his movie, Mo Better Blues, the characters were European Jews in the movie because of their influence in the record industry, in management, or their involvement in the movie industry. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Louis B. Mayer, Warner. The imagery that they, in fact, there's a good movie, brothers and sisters, you need to check out. Yeah. Ragtime. Check out Ragtime. That's a deep movie. Check out Ragtime with Howard Rollins and Debbie Allen. Moses Gunn has Booker T. Washington. Check out Ragtime, the last movie that James Cagney played in before he made his transition. There's a part in that movie that was really deep, and it's the European Jew who they're vacationing out in California, and he goes out to California to help start the movie industry because the setting is the late 1800s, early 1900s. That's the setting, Ragtime. And he says there's no end to what you can do with the photoplay. What he was saying, there's no end to what you can do when you have the ability to manipulate and mastermind imagery in movies. And now with the blue screen technology or green screen technology, whatever the hell it is now. I think it's blue now, whatever. But it's just like in the movie Forrest Gump. In the movie Forrest Gump, when you watch the movie, you swear that he was standing right there next to John F. Kennedy, and John F. Kennedy was putting a pin on him, an award on him or something like that, and the other images. Because because the technology of today, they can do those things. In fact, on a Nightline program, they were talking about that technology. And the Caucasian said, we have the ability to change history because we can go back and we can present that history to you. And you will believe that it is real because why? You visually see it. Brothers and sisters, we do not understand who we are dealing with. We are dealing with an evil entity on this planet. Europeans, Urugu, Caucasians, crackers, whatever. How about this word, hunky? Ain't heard that word in a while, have you? Well, I try not to engage in name calling, you know. But when you understand what has happened to us and you see the people who have done it and are continuing to do it, they don't deserve any respect. They need to be called up for who and what they are. And they need to be rejected. I just read to you the Inye Sesim. The more we reject them, the more stronger we become. But yet our people are consistently entrained to believe that we must find ways to civilize them once again. And I say that seriously because we have civilized them so many damn times. And what we have in return is that they came back as conquerors and destroyed our image. And destroyed our, you know, and destroyed our image, because that's who they are. That's who they are. And in a damn thing, I mean, they suffer, as I've seen this piece of Franz Fanon, they suffer from cognitive dissonance. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they are superior. And there's not a damn thing that we can do or say to prove otherwise. They believe they are superior. Even though there's a plethora, abundance of information that says otherwise, but yet and still, because that feeling of the truth, just like in the movie, A Few Good Men, Jack Nicholson's character, General Nathan Jessup, as he says to Tom Cruise's character, you can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. They can't. Excuse me. They can't. They cannot handle the truth. That's why they suffer from cognitive dissonance. They can't handle the truth. They dismiss it. They ignore it. They continue on with the lie. It's probably a good example of is all these presidents, but more so the past president of this country, Donald Trump, who was an habitual liar. Consistently. Can't handle the truth. Don't want to deal with the truth. And yet, the image that they have put out about us has been embraced by the world. People of dark skin, people of deeply melanated skin are despised. Not just on the continent, excuse me, but around the world. But around the world. You name it. Everywhere you can go, usually the people who are in charge. I mean, I know in Cuba, when I went to Cuba, Fidel Castro, you know, wanted to project a country of equality. Doesn't matter what your skin tone was, but country of equality. But yet, even there, when I've been, what was that, about 10 or so years, no longer than that now, the people who are running the university for the medical school, which offers people from around the world the opportunity to go to medical school free. And there was a sister from Milwaukee, Joya Mosley, you know, when I visited and talked with her and met some people from the Bay Area, a lot of brothers and sisters from the Bay Area, and some others. But yet, all of the staff, all the people that talked to us, were the more Caucasian-looking Cubans. This was the same way when I visited on a short visit a few years ago with the radio station here. It was a cruise, and we just took the boat and sailed to Havana, got off, seen this, seen that, and then went to the state store to get some rum and some cigars, you know. And everybody at the state store was Caucasian-looking Cubans. Everybody on the outside who wanted you to buy cigars from them, which I did, were the African-looking Cubans. Some would argue that's just a natural order of things. That's just a natural place for us. After all, the Bible speaks to that, doesn't it? The Bible speaks to that. Let me pull this up. I got to pull this up. Because my good brother listens. He calls in every now and then. He doesn't dialogue too much without... But he's cool. He is a good man. He's a good brother. He's a fellow firefighter. And, you know, he's been sending out these memes for quite some time. They're outstanding. Let me see. Hopefully I can get this, pull this up. Come on now. Because if I do this, and this won't come up like this, I'm going to be very angry. Oh, boy. Okay. So it's not going to let me do this. Yeah. It didn't. No. It took me off. I apologize. It took me off. But Brother Dennis... And I really appreciate Brother Dennis. He sends out some good ones. Yeah. So he sent out one basically saying that, and I'm paraphrasing because, you know, foolishly saying that these European Jews, actually the Hebrews, gave this religion to the world outside of Judaism called Christianity, with a belief that... there is a God in there that you must believe, and that he died, and you must drink his blood and eat his flesh. And then, of course, if you believe that, then, you know, you will never die. You will have everlasting life. You know, that's, man, I wish I could throw that one up there. I should have saved that. So, but yeah, we're going to take a break shortly. And then when you come back from the break, I'm going to read this article to you on the image of Africa, the distortions that, unfortunately, our brothers and sisters, Africa must take control of its image worldwide. Worldwide, you know. And the only way that Africa can do this and have control of it is that Africans unite. That Africans, wherever we are in the diaspora and wherever we are on the continent, we speak as one. You can maintain your religion, be it Christianity, be it Islam, be it whatever. But the most important thing that we must embrace is that we are African people, and we come together on that fact to share our resources and our talents and our knowledge to develop Africa, to continue to develop Africa, and to control Africa's resources. To feed Africans, to clothe Africans, to build roads, highways, railroads, ports, schools, hospitals, subdivisions, cities, skyscrapers, whatever it is that we need, we have all we need now. The only thing, damn it, we don't have is the right mind to do it. That's why this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Sovereignty for African people. Our motto in this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. our future is not certain. Our future is not certain. So, boy, I wish I could have come up with that again. Brother, if you are listening, my dear friend, Brother Dennis, please, man, send it again on that religious piece. That was a good piece. You know, I don't know if I saved it, and I should. I usually do save a lot that you send me, and I appreciate that. I appreciate what you put out, you know. So, we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back from the break, we'll get off into this article and have some dialogue. So when we after we come back from the break and get into dialogue, and then, of course, you can give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Herbie Mann, European Jew, and Greg Allman. That's just a bad cut. That's a bad cut, I'm telling you. Yeah, spirit in the dark. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed, and then followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9, the Black Farmers Report. And if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sundays, once again, at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. 3-2. We're talking about the image of Africa. And of course, the image of Africa has been distorted and has been, you know, when I mentioned the European Jews, of course, particularly in the early parts of Hollywood, they gave that image out of us cooking people in pots and bones through our nose and so forth. You know, they're the one that perpetrated the uncivilized, uncouth. They're the ones that, and of course, Europeans particularly, not just European Jews, but Europeans particularly, fostered that image of Africans, basically justifying our captivity, justifying our enslavement, justifying our elimination. This is a fact. This is a fact that we as African people must deal with. And it is not about challenging them. Once again, brothers and sisters, I stated earlier, you know, there ain't nothing we can do about that. Because not only do they suffer from cognitive dissonance, they suffer from Caucasian fragility. They're fragile. They don't want to hear about the evil they've done. That's why this big challenge to critical race theory. They don't want to hear the real history. They don't want to hear the actual things that they have done. No, they want to believe they're good people. And what they did was a benefit for the whole world. That the means justified the ends. Whatever happened, it was good for all of us. These are some delusional ass people. Yeah. Cognitive dissonance. European or Caucasian or white fragility. And of course, hegemony or hegemony, how you want to pronounce that word, what basically means what's mine's is mine's and what's yours is mine's. Selfishness and greedy. It's deep, deep people. Africa must take control of its worldwide image. But how do we make it? And the question was asked to an African. But how do you make it in your own country to survive? This question appeared naturally during a conversation. This question left me wide-eyed. It was my first journey to Europe. And because I was coming from Africa, I was asked that question. And yet, my life has never been about surviving. I grew up in a big African city in a relative material comfort. I attended well-equipped schools. I never knew hunger. And the only place where I saw starvation and war scenes was on television. This is a lot of people's reality. But the image of Africa today, except for South Africa and Northern Africa, where the Arabs are, is the image of a continent which has never given anything to humanity, and which retarded people live starving in huts, in the middle of war zones. We've seen the movies, War and Instability. This is how the world sees Africa. The huts and so forth. Jungle, starvation. This appalling image is how the rest of the world's planet sees us. This is also how Africans in the diaspora, in the Americas particularly, ended up. That's why they end up rejecting Africa. As I stated earlier, there's many of them. I'm not African. No, I'm indigenous. We're not Africans. We reject, because of what we have gone through, we reject a continent with all of the world's resources. As Dr. John Henry Clark states, and as I end this program with, that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell damn it don't want to pay for. This is how Africans and Africans are trying to get out. It would be great if we had the situation that we should have. Where we are, we do well. We do well with each other because we love ourselves. We love who we are. We love being dark-skinned. We love close curled hair. We love thick lips, broad nose. We love Africa. We love Africans. And we recognize that Africans are light, bright, and damn near white to blue-black. We, the whole color spectrum is us. But those who identify wanting to be African with sincerity, because there's some of us who are African and who are proud to be African. But there are most of us. So sometimes you got to use the right verbiage, the right words, because there's most of us, because of this mental side that we have experienced, this training that we have gone through, this indoctrination of self-hatred, don't want to be who we are. This appalling image is how the rest of the planet sees us. This is also how Africans of the Americas ended up rejecting this continent, often violently and irreversibly, whereas they are also part of it. This is also how islanders, Africans such as Mangalese or even the Cape Verdes, see Africa. And they think the sea and their making save them from the continent, because they out there in the sea in Madagascar and Cape Verde. No, you're still African. Whether you're in the Caribbean, Central South America, there are more Africans in Brazil. There are more Africans in Brazil than any country except Nigeria. And you see how we are treated there as well. This is also the same thing for lots of South Africans who don't know very well the continent, and they esteem themselves saved by the white presence. Reason why some express this murderous hate against other fellow Africans. That's right. Africans, the South African businesses were looking for more talented people, and people came from Ghana. People came from Nigeria. And the white South, and the brothers and sisters in Azinia, because that's the proper name, the brothers and sisters in Azinia were turning on them, as opposed to turning on the Caucasians who created a situation. They were turning on, calling and saying the word xenophobia, saying there's no, we have no fear of other Africans. And turning on them as they came into the country and were willing to kill them for taking our jobs. A lot of madness going on, I tell you. A lot of madness. This extraordinarily negative reflection is the image the West media has chosen to depict Africa. So we are going to tell you about the stakes of the perception other people have about us and about the importance of defining and taking control of it. We must take control of our image. We as African people must come together and take control of our image and begin to speak as one, regardless of what theologies we may have or any other perceived or petty difference. The importance of image. 43 million are poor. 15 million hungry people. 2.1 million people in prison. Nearly 16,000 marriages, which mirrors with minors, 16,000 marriages with minors each year. The 1,300 deaths by firearms in 2015. These are the United States figures. This is what happens in the U.S. And yet, the United States probably remains the country with the best image in the world. That is a country lots of young people dream of because it gives itself the means to stir up admiration. Its buildings, jingles, its billionaires, hip-hop, and the show-off of wealth, etc. That is mostly what the media shows about this country. Therefore, American citizens are automatically valued wherever they go. They are respected, admired. Their word is listened to. This is because they benefit from the image of their country. We know what we know about. What do we know about Dubai? And its fiery buildings and other state-of-the-art infrastructures. But behind the scenes, there are 53% of its population composed of workers from South Asia, Southeast Asia, the Philippines, Vietnam, and so forth. They are the ones to doing the work. And some are neutered African men. They have been, that's what happened in Libya once they killed Muammar Gaddafi. And the Africans who were trying to get up out of Africa, who were in Libya trying to cross the Mediterranean, many of them were neutered. Their stuff cut off so they could be sold to so-called Middle Eastern countries of Dubai, United Arab Emirates, and so forth. They earn an average of less than 100,000 CFA, francs, per month, an insufficient income that in the African countries drives into a relative poverty. They live in disastrous conditions, work under extreme heat, commit suicide at a breakneck pace, and yet Dubai doesn't show that. The image must be clean. Today, the life of the emirate is seen as precious. The image is also great economic lever. It is the foundation for tourism. And if a product is said to be an American made, for example, it is enough for its value to be multiplied and for people to rush on it to buy it, even when its quality is not the best. This is also the reason why lots of French products have mentioned Paris written beneath the name of the brand, since Paris projects a good image. The image is an important factor of enrichment. A country's positive image on the international scene grants it with influence, protects its citizens abroad, and gives its economy an added value. But this is the reality of the African situation. It is believed that nearly 40% of Africans live in cities. It is said almost 500 million people. What do the cities look like? These cities have buildings, supermarkets, universities, entertainment places, large roadways, lots of automobiles, electricity, running water, internet, beautiful residential neighborhoods, and poor popular neighborhoods as well. If the continent is lagging economically in comparison with the rest of the world, the global picture is more contrasted than we think. Even in the villages, the solid buildings are being spared. Over the 49 countries in sub-Saharan Africa, 39 of them do not face any military or armed conflicts. And 44 do not have starvation. The great problem of Africa currently is the mass unemployment and low wages. The mass migration is the result of the lack of economic opportunities and a desirable future prospects. This economic situation is engendered by the looting of Africa by the West and its African associates, those Africans who are willing to do whatever they can to assist those outside of Africa to plunder Africa. And a lot of them are trained in the West. A lot of them are puppets and neo-colonialists. Those that migrate come from the cities and not from huts. You show a picture of a sad situation where Boko Haram in Nigeria had kidnapped those sisters, kidnapped those young girls. Then they also show a picture of Nigeria, of a powerful Nigeria, you know, where the war, that's in the northeastern portion of the of Nigeria. And of course, they show a beautiful mall, beautiful shops and so forth, and the economic power of Nigeria. Show a picture of Equatorial Guinea, night view, beautiful. Show a picture of Dakar, Senegal, the aerial view of Dakar, Senegal, beautiful. Highways, railways, coming into the city, around building there, beautiful. I'm telling you. Some of the cityscapes, and then of course they show a slum of Nairobi, of Kenya. And that's what the Western world wants you to see. That's what the Western world wants you to think. That's all that is there, just like in South Africa. There's the Soweto, the slums. And right next door, with a fence going straight down for miles, is the Caucasian side. Now, granted, a number of Caucasians left because they could not fathom being under African rule, black rule. They left some beautiful homes. I wish I can remember the name of that documentary where you see these brothers and sisters moving to South Africa to take advantage of some beautiful homes, indoor pools and so forth, because they were left, and many of the South Africans can't afford them. So people outside of South Africa or Zenia who have wherewithal, they could purchase those places. But yet and still, there are still people in Southern Africa, Caucasian Southern Africa, who are running it, who are doing what they did prior to Nelson Mandela being released. And understand, Nelson Mandela was released because he cut a deal. He was not going to nationalize many of the things that he should have done. He cut a deal. You know? So, that's beautiful. The other face of Nairobi. So the city of Nairobi in Kenya. The city of Lusaka in Zambia. Darul Islam in Tanzania, beautiful. And of course the Congo, to the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Even in African countries most touched by the crises, there are people who live ordinarily lives. In the Congo, it's a very big country. War is particularly taking place in the northeastern, but other people live natural lives. Beautiful picture of some kids from Botswana. Botswana, it's a beautifully developed country, one of the richest in Africa. Reason why the Western media did not show these pictures and show those of neighboring South Africa is because they want to give the illusion that only Caucasians can bring development in Africa, whereas the development of Botswana is because of the people of Botswana. And show the university and hospitals in Botswana. And then they show Mozambique. They show construction going on. It's beautiful. And Ghana in Accra. They show Accra. Been there many times. Cote d'Ivoire, the capital, Abidjan and Cote d'Ivoire. In Angola. I'm telling you. The West is war of the image against Africa. Today, the image of Africa is determined by the West because Africans do not understand how important it is for us to control our image. Smearing Africa is the policy of the West to justify their crimes against us since the beginning of the captivity of 500 years ago. The method has not changed. More than before the captive trade, Africa's used to be simply be the richest continent on the planet. And brothers and sisters, it has been plundered for hundreds of years, and yet and still, it is still the richest continent on the planet. To spread pictures of huts, wars, famines, and disease is the way to deprive Africans of dignity. To depict them as useless and harmful people, to destruct the values of their lives. This enables an easy looting because those who are stolen are worthless people who spend their time making war. This is how 8 million people have been killed over the past 20 years in the Congo amid great general indifference on a background of a grabbing of the country's extraordinary riches, extraordinary wealth of the Congo particularly. Tarnishing Africa also enables to keep alive the myth of Caucasian European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. I don't use white supremacy. Number one, they ain't white. And they sure the hell ain't supreme. They Europeans, they Caucasians. They are extreme. Racism is an ideology they developed. They developed the concept of race, giving themselves the top position and everybody else a lower position, with us at the lowest position. There are two people you can look up in history, Carol Linnaeus and Johann Blumenbach in the 17th century, the 1600s. They are the ones that created this concept of race. There's no such thing as race. There's only one race, the human race, of which African people are fathers and mothers of. Every African person on the planet carries the image of Africa. It does not matter the determination with which a African person denies Africa and Africans. It does not matter how lucky they think they are for having escaped Africa. It does not matter how they try physically and culturally to assimilate themselves to Europeans or other groups. The African will always be associated to that image. Because you are African, it is automatic when they see you. Now, you don't want to be seen like that. I know, because you're ashamed. You just want to be seen as a person. But that's how they see you. The media manipulation, along with the falsification of the history of Africa that has civilized humanity, and the curse of the African or its culture, by Judeo-Christian and Islamic texts, is the foundation on which stands the justification for damaging Africans all over the world. The controversy about African birth rates was a striking example. Following the French President Macron's remarks and the unspeakable submission of the West African officials, we saw a media excitement in Europe that tried to impose the limitations of birth in Africa. Pictures of lots and poor children were shown on a loop. They want to decrease the birth. A month or so ago, I did a program talking about how important it is that African birth rates be maintained and increased. But see, the people who are talking about population control who are even promoting this vaccine. Anthony Fauci. And what's his name? Microsoft. Name is escaping me right now. In fact, I was talking with a brother and he was saying, he was trying to convince me that the TED talk with Tom, where see the Caucasian's face, name escapes me. He was talking about, we have developed vaccines to develop population control. This is what he said clearly. The camera was in front of him. You hear him speak the words. Population control. But yet Africa is not overpopulated at all. And it must keep absolutely its birth rate. So, as we have explained it before in another piece that I read, the aim in those publications was to influence the public opinion with the idea that African population must be reduced at all costs. You even heard Prince Harry or whatever say the same thing, that Africa must decrease its birth rate. No. And I even heard people say here, well, they so poor, why they still having kids? Look at them kids, all with flies on their face. So the idea is that Africans are numerous, unintelligent, poor, sick, belligerent, and having sex consistently. Wouldn't it be better without them? This is how genocide is prepared. This is how all genocides in the history of humanity were psychologically prepared. In West African countries intended to limit the number of births per woman. There's an article in Russia Today with the pictures showing poverty. Russia Today has explicitly supported the campaign that called out to the reduction of births in Africa, going as far as deleting comments from people who were against this idea. May this create reflection to all Africans who are naively see the Russians as friends. African members of parliament pledged to reduce fertility. The BBC, there's a BBC article, British Broadcasting Company article. Africans are so numerous that they don't fit and on the pictures. Yeah. The importance of taking control of our image, brothers and sisters. It is therefore necessary to show the world a positive image of Africa, to provide the continent with the influence of power on the global stage, to protect Africans and Africans of America, and to value our economy. As we always like to say, if they are the problem, we are the solution. There is no sense in asking others to change the bad image that they projected on us. We must create our international image. They will not do it. Simply bringing it to their attention and pleading with them will not do it. We always hope and pray that somehow we can appeal to them morally. We can appeal to them righteously. It hasn't happened. It's not happening. And it ain't gonna happen. For example, this publication has been created in this regard. It was out of question for us to ask others to correct their lies on the African history. Thanks to our historical consciousness that we have recovered and driven by the conviction that we could accomplish anything, we have created our own media of history. Ashe. Today, no television channel intended to be pan-African lives up to the stakes related to the problem of our image. There is therefore a need to develop the existing media or to create others with a clear purpose to project unto the whole planet an essentially positive image of our continent through its history, its current events, and its culture. This is why there are CNN, BBC, Frank 24, CCTV of China, Al Jazeera of Qatar, Russia Today, I-24 of Israel, Press TV of Iran, and so forth and so on, Iraq, et cetera, et cetera. These international channels were not created and financed by the states and the individuals simply for the pleasure to inform. They have well-intended goals. Conclusion. The image is a vital security. Influence and economic prosperity stake. A people with a disastrous and unfortunate image is, in extreme case of like ours, a people ready for genocide. Let me repeat. The image is a vital security. Influence and economic prosperity stake. A people with a disastrous and unfortunate image is, in an extreme case like ours, a people ready for genocide. If we want to remain in existence and starve for prosperity, then our reflection must reach that stake. Our work consists in creating a media with international dimensions in order to promote a positive image of Africa. This image will be most positive if the progress follows. It comes down to every African to strive for examples in their lives and also to diffuse all around them a positive image of the continent. Each one of us is responsible for it. We all are. We are, as they say, we are all in this together. And then it shows the great African Renaissance statue in Dakar, that beautiful statue in Dakar with the brother and the baby. And his woman going forward. Yep. That's what should be happening. That's what should be happening. Brothers and sisters, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. If you want to talk about that, or there's something else on your mind, we'll talk about that. But the reason why I constantly do this and been doing this is because those of us who believe in African sovereignty, who believe that we must take control of our lives, we must control our image, know that our future is not guaranteed. You heard me read that. Anybody who has gone through what we've gone through and continues to behave and act the way that we do, they'll be prepared to be eliminated, exterminated. You know, there's two documentaries that I promote consistently. One, of course, is Great Pyramid K 2019. Great Pyramid K. You can check that out on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and you can get the whole documentary, the over 3.5 hours long documentary, which is well worth it. Great Pyramid K. The K stands for Kemet, is what the Greeks called Egypt. Great Pyramid K 2019. The documentary clearly states who built the pyramids. Weren't aliens. There weren't no damn Hebrews or European Jews or no light-skinned people. There wasn't somebody from Atlantis. They were the Kemetic people themselves, the brothers and sisters themselves. And it is extraordinary how they did it. That's why you see statues. They didn't carve those brothers and sisters. They didn't carve them. The people who were the artists were the people who made molds. They made molds and they poured stone. They liquefied the stone by developing a solar crystal, a solar disk. You know how when you, get a magnifying glass and you find the sun and you put it right onto your hand and move the magnifying glass to the point where it's really small and it burned the hell out your hand? Well, that's what we did. That's what we did. We developed the solar disk glass. And we melted granite. We melted granite. That's why when they focus on the Great Pyramid of Khufu, because you know there's tons of pyramids in Kemet, has even more in the Sudan. The pyramids themselves were made with limestone. Mixing water with limestone and then pouring them. They poured it and then took off the supports and bam, there you have it. Because when you look at the pyramids, those stones are 2-3 tons. What is a ton? 1 ton is 1,000. 1 ton is 2,000 pounds. 2,000 pounds is a ton. Five tons is 10,000 pounds. No, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry. I used to say this to the kids too. We would sail down the river because the Nile River is the longest river in the world, flowing from south to north. We'll sail down the river, go to a quarry, cut the stones, drag the stones, because we didn't have, particularly at that time, we didn't have the wheel. We didn't have horses, didn't have elephants. We had serious manpower. And we dragged the stones on wood with the sand being wet so it could slide. And then we put the sand, this is what we said, put the cut stone on a block, on a barge, and then we sailed them down river, sailing from south to north. And then we took them off the barge and then dragged them up to be placed perfectly. I've been blessed to go to Kemet. When you are going to go to Kemet as part of a tour, there's a laser light show. You know, they show a laser light show for all the tourists. You see Hori Maket, or what the Greeks call the Sphinx. See Hori Maket lit up, its face, body lit up, and then you see the pyramids behind. But as you're going there, because they do it, of course, a light show has to be done at night. So as you're going there, it's dusk. But in the horizon, you can see how perfect the pyramids are. How perfect. And those were placed one on top and next to the other, without mortar, without cement, because they poured them and then they took the molds away, and there was, bam, one on top of the other. You can even put a piece of paper in them. And then the granite was melted and poured to make the sarcophagus, to make the other patterns and so forth, where it was called for. It was poured. That's why the shafts are perfect from the beginning all the way to the outside. They couldn't have been chiseled out. It's humanly impossible. So that's one documentary, and you can catch that on YouTube. Great Pyramid K, 2019. So it tells you who did it and how we did it.
And we took that information of pi, of the royal number, of the meter, all these things we created, and took it around the world, and everybody else began to do it. We shared. We ain't like the European. The European comes to take, comes to conquer, comes to colonize. No, we came to share. Great documentary. The only part I fast forward is the part where the Frenchmen are sailing on the Atlantic, once again proving that you could sail like we did out of Kemet through the Mediterranean, through the Strait of Gibraltar into the Atlantic Ocean and get caught by the currents. The currents will sweep you westerly. That's the same thing that happened to Columbus when he thought that he was trying to find a way around Africa, around the southern part of Africa, into India for the spice trade. He sailed to this hemisphere. And the first place he touched was now, which is now Haiti in the Dominican Republic. He called it Hispaniola. He never set foot on North America. So that's how we did it. That's who did it, and that's how we did it. He says unequivocally, it wasn't nobody but us, Africans, dark-skinned people who could deal with. Because understand, they have, instead of four seasons, they had three seasons. They had the agricultural piece. Of course, they lived on the desert. That was very important to grow food. The inundation, it was during the inundation that they built temples and tombs and pyramids. And then they had the harvest. The harvest, everybody got to focus in, make sure that harvest gets in, because why? When you live on the desert, you got to have food. So they had three. They had three. And it could only have been melanated people that could have done something like that. But yet I know movies and other documentaries, even National Geographic, Learning Channel, Discovery Channel. Hell, when I came to Kemet, they said the same damn thing. Dr. Watson and his minions. This was a mixed country. No, it was not. It didn't come to that until the Arabs began to sweep westerly with Islam and just take over all of North Africa. All the dynasties. And you know, and then there's National Geographic with that, the 25th dynasty was an African dynasty. No, it was not. All of them were. The relief on the wall of Ramesses III. Ramesses II is the one that everybody knows of, but Ramesses III. When they show the four people, two dark-skinned people, one was Egyptian or Kemetic, and the other was Nubian. Then they show the Indo-European, and then they show the Semitic person. Those four people showing you. But the Kemetic people and the Cushite people or Nubians, they're cousins. They're the same people. Then the other documentary that I've been pushing, of course, falls in line with what we're talking about today. Exterminate all the brutes. Raul Peck. Raul Peck is a brother from Haiti. He lived through Baby Doc, Papa Doc, and that madness, and saw Jean-Patrick Aristide come into power and didn't get deposed. But he also lived in Europe. He lived in Germany. He saw the Shoah, or the murder, the mass murder of European Jews. You know, what he talks about, he's lived. Exterminate All the Brutes was a book by a European, Swedish European, Sven Lundquist, I believe it was. What he talked about when the Europeans were venturing out and claiming everybody's stuff in the name of. An edict or dictate was exterminate. Exterminate all the brutes. They're not Christian. Exterminate them. Exterminate all the brutes. Then another Caucasian lady, her piece was looking at the world through Native Americans. You always looked at the world through the European, the conqueror's eyes. Looking at America through indigenous people's eyes, Native Americans' eyes. And then one of his countrymen, I can remember the brother's name from Haiti. But he took those three sources and made this great documentary in there. Four 1 hour segments. It begins with this antagonist played by this Caucasian. He's in all the segments. He's in all the segments as the antagonist. He's just an evil dude. And it begins with a Seminole woman, an indigenous woman, walking up to him because he wants his property back. I want my property. And this is a deep piece here. He says to her, if you give me my property back, I'll let you go to a place where we have for you. Not that if you let me, you give my property, I'll let you alone. I'll let you be. You can continue on with your lives. I just want my property. No. Because I'm going to move you. I'm going to get you out of Florida. This was Andrew Jackson's move. That's why, to me, putting Armentia, Harriet Tubman, on a $20 bill, and even Andrew Jackson on the back of it, is so blasphemous, ridiculous. She is rolling over in her grave with this idea. No way in hell should we be on the currency of none of their damn money. If there was some economic equity, I can understand that. But it'll never be economic equity in this country, because why? It is so far out of whack, it's ridiculous. It has been stated that if there was a ability to have economic equity in this country, it would take 250 years before that could happen. Because even at the bare minimum, Caucasians have 10% more wealth than we do. We have 10,000. They have 100,000. Because this is theirs, not ours. Exterminate all the brutes. That's on HBO. If you have HBO, one of those streaming, you can catch all of them at the same time. Watch all four episodes, 1 hour. Speaking of, I love Muhammad Ali. If anybody who knows me, I love Muhammad Ali. I love Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X. I love the movie. And then, of course, there's the documentary, Blood Brothers. And one thing that Muhammad Ali's daughter said, that when asked of Muhammad, he says, well, one of my regrets is that I didn't stick by Malcolm X. I said to him, because you have outed the messengers, Elijah Muhammad, just like Farrakhan said, he's worthy of death. Anybody who out the messenger, Elijah Muhammad, because he had fathered 7 children, I believe, by 7 young ladies and whatever. Of course, there was always corruption. One thing I can say about Elijah Muhammad, as opposed to Farrakhan, they're doing things then that ain't shit happening now. Sugar Honey Iced Tea ain't happening now. They don't have, you know, the stores, the restaurants. The restaurant on the south side of Chicago failed. The only thing they have over that way is the the Final Call newspaper, the bookstore. That restaurant failed. And it should have been supported at least by the membership. It's just like our restaurant, our cafe. This should be supported by our members. It failed. Yeah. Exterminate all the brutes. Yeah, but Muhammad Ali, documentary of Ken Burns, 8 hours long. I sat up and watched all 8 hours. A lot of information, things that I did not know, things that, of course, that I did know because I've watched every other documentary and anything else about Muhammad Ali and read. I have books. I boxed. I used to be a boxer because of Muhammad Ali. I seen Muhammad Ali 3 times in my life. First time on the streets in Milwaukee by Muhammad Smiles No. 3. The numbers are the order in which they were founded or came into existence. No. 1 is Detroit. No. 2 is Chicago. No. 3 is Milwaukee. I get my hair cut by Muhammad Smiles No. 15 here in Atlanta. I saw him on the street. Saw him again in Indiana at the Indiana Black Expo. There was a boxing tournament named in his honor, and he was there at ringside. I had to go and touch him and shake his hand. But then I saw him again at his center, at the Muhammad Ali Center in Louisville, Kentucky. A friend of mine, we went there and had to take his shoes off to do some shadow boxing. So I'm in the ring. I'm doing my thing. I'm moving and grooving inside out, you know, shadow boxing. And she said, Oshi, come quick. Come on, hurry up. I didn't even put my shoes on. I gathered my stuff up, and there he was. And there was Muhammad Ali. I had a chance to hug him, told him I love you. Unfortunately, I didn't have a cell phone at the time. Didn't get a picture. You know, that would have been my main screensaver. Hell, it might have been a mural. You know, love Muhammad Ali. So if you get a chance, brothers and sisters, check out the Ken Burns documentary. He's the nation's documentarian. He's the nation's documentarian. And he's done a damn good job, I must say. He gets resources through all those endowments and, of course, through public television. The Jack Johnson piece, Unforgivable Blackness, outstanding. And, of course, David Keefe is the narrator. He's been a narrator on many of them. The Vietnam piece he did was outstanding. I really didn't see too much of the Civil War piece. I'm going to need to look at that. But other documentaries he's had. But for me, of course, it's Muhammad Ali. Very, very thorough. Very thorough. And it has all three of the women who were instrumental in his wife, his first marriage. Well, it's actually not his first marriage to Sonia. They just show her. Then his first marriage to Kalia, Belinda, his first marriage, and those children. And then to Veronica, Porsche, and those children, at least Hannah. They don't show, surprisingly, you don't see Layla Ali with her fine self. You don't see Layla Ali. And then, of course, to Lonnie, who was a little kid when, because I showed that to a friend. She said, "Yeah, she's a little kid." Yeah, well, she grew up. I mean, it wasn't like he was, you know, doing something when she was a baby. You know, she grew up to be a young woman. And, hey, oh man, the time. Okay, brothers and sisters, I gotta go. You know I love you and appreciate you for all those who have listened, those who have called in. Be with me on Wednesday. My guest will be Diallo Diop from Senegal. We'll talk about what's happening in Senegal and on the continent and what he's trying to do to develop a memorial for Dr. Chikantia Diop, not at the university, but outside of that. In Senegal and other things. So we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a wonderful day, and hope to see you on Wednesday. Peace, family.